Millions of Iraqis will be heading to the polls this weekend to vote in crucial parliamentary elections, whose outcome could put the country's future in balance between its rival sectarian groups. With more than 6,000 candidates competing, no one is expecting a straightforward outcome to the elections, which may mean weeks or months of political wrangling to form a ruling coalition. In 2005, a power vacuum following inconclusive elections triggered a massive increase in sectarian violence, and many fear this could happen again, threatening the country's shaky peace. Iraq's beleaguered Christian community is also worried that the outcome of these elections could herald a new wave of violence. At least 8 Christians have been killed in the last 2 weeks alone in the northern city of Mosul, and Pope Benedict has appealed to the Iraqi civil authorities to redouble their efforts to provide security to all Iraqis, and in particular to the most vulnerable religious minorities. A UN report published last week said over 4,000 Christians fled Mosul after the latest killings. Originally from Mosul, Dr. Suha Rassam is an Iraqi Catholic doctor now living in England, who has written a book about the history of Christianity in Iraq from its ancient beginnings. Along with a group of fellow Iraqi exiles, she has founded a charity to provide help for Iraqi Christians who have been forced to flee their homes as a result of the sectarian violence and chaos of the past few years, many of whom are now living in abject poverty. I began by asking her whether she fears a new spike in the violence if there's a power vacuum in Iraq after the elections.
They do fear, really, because the major forces that are active in Iraqi theater at the moment are still the Islamic religious parties of both sects, whether Shiites and Sunni. And although there are some secular parties and independent individuals who have presented themselves for the elections as secular people, and they would, they maintain that they would like to have separation between the state and religion. They would like to consider all Iraqi citizens as equal, irrespective of ethnicity and religion. They would like to incorporate some of the Ba'athis rather than complete sort of uprootal of any Ba'athist who cooperated with Saddam. These parties and these people, I think, would do better to incorporate all the elements that are positive for the country and would separate religion from the state and would be a hope for a new Iraqi society. But they are, unfortunately, a minority, and I doubt whether they would be able to get a majority seats in the coming elections.
Is it fair to say that Iraq is a country that's still extremely divided along sectarian and ethnic lines, and this election will show that very clearly?
It is still divided, and as I said, our hope is in the secular parties that would like to get rid of this sectarianism. There is also a hope that al-Maliki has moved a little bit away from sectarianism and has given his new list as the state of law rather than the Da'wah Islamic Party, as he used to call it. But he hasn't been successful for the last few years that he has been in power. So I'm not sure what will happen if a similar party come or if he himself also wins.
So how would you describe the mood among the Iraqis that you're still in touch with in your homeland, ahead of these elections?
Well, most of the people that I am in touch with, they are the Christians, and they are really afraid. They are not very happy. I tried to get in touch with 3 of them yesterday, and all of them have their telephone closed. They just are afraid. They don't want to talk to anybody for the time being.
Yes, turning to the Christians, as you well know, there's been a number of killings in the northern city of Mosul in recent weeks. So are the Christians there really living, as you imply, in a state of extreme fear? And do you think this is going to encourage more of them to leave?
Well, I don't know if the elections will be encouraging them to leave, but the present government haven't been able to contain the terrorists that are doing these killings. And there have been strong letters from religious leaders of all denominations accusing even the government of conspiracy because they were not able to address the problem. They said there's no excuse for what is happening. They are really making loud noises. There has been a demonstration in Baghdad asking the government to protect the Christians. So, yes, the church now is speaking very loudly. So whether the perpetrators are Al-Qaeda or whether, as was suggested at one stage, especially in the 2008 killings, that the Kurds may be involved, whoever is responsible, the government haven't been able to find them or to punish them. And this worries the whole Christian community, not only in Mosul, but in the whole country. So all the Christians are living in fear.
So when you talk to them, and I know that you originally came from Mosul, what do they say to you about life there, how they go about their daily life, what sort of security measures they have to take to protect themselves?
Well, you tell me I come from Mosul, yes, and I know the situation in Mosul. I lived in, I was born there, and I lived there until I went to college to Baghdad. So as a young adult, I was in Mosul, and we always were worried of some very extremist Muslims who are well known in Mosul. So, and the atrocities that has happened in 68 are well known. Even the atrocities of 1933, the massacre of the Assyrians, the Mosul responsible people could be implied in it. So Mosul is a ripe place for extremist Islamists. And it's believed that when the problem in Anbar was resolved, the extremist Al-Qaeda movement moved to Mosul and made alliance with just such extremist Muslims. So this is why the situation in Mosul now is in such a dire strait. And the last 2 years, people who have been there and come back, they say it is a no-go area for the Christians. They just have to go and do these certain things, minimum things, and come back to their homes. And now they are attacking them while they are in their own homes. There has been a family, 5 armed people, forced the door open, went in, killed the father and 2 sons, and raped the sister and the mother. This happened on the 24th of February. And for the last 2 months, the number killed is about 16 in 2 months in similar ways.
So do you actually know Christian families who have decided to leave the city and flee Iraq, or flee at least to other areas of Iraq because of the situation in Mosul?
Yes, I know several. The first atrocities that happened in 2008, which started in October, led to 15,000 people leaving the city of Mosul to the northern cities of Iraq. And since then, I have heard from Syria and Jordan that people have been coming to Syria and Jordan because the refugees have started to go abroad, and we thought that this is going to be finished. You know, America, certain European countries accepted lots of refugees, and refugees were decreasing in these countries. And in recent months, it has suddenly increased again, and this is related to the atrocities that has been happening in Mosul since 2008.
You said that you lived in Mosul until you went to college. I mean, what was life like then for the Christian community? You said there's always been a history of Islamic extremism. But I mean, in those days, did you go about your daily business without the fear of attacks?
Yes, in those days there was security. I mean, I hear some of my friends who go in very Muslim areas, who, you know, go to school through Muslim areas. I remember them telling me about them being hit, people coming and asking them to be Muslims, taking their bags and so on and so forth. So this was there, but the rule of law was very strong and there were no atrocities committed. There may have been some discriminations, but as soon as a law of order breaks, which happened in 68, then Christians were killed. And in those days, they were accused of being communists. So this was the mood. I lived in Mosul. I was secure. My family was secure. We went about our business and we had many Muslim friends at school. We had full rights. You know, I don't remember being treated in any different way than my Muslim friends. So everybody was beginning to sort of feel Iraqi and that all citizens are equal. But as I said, we still hear of people who, you know, are like Christian haters or like who call us infidels and so on.
And how important is the role of the Chaldean Catholic Church in Mosul? I know that you are a Catholic.
Yes. As you know, their bishop was killed in Mosul, not only the bishop, but the Raghid Ghanni, the priest, he was killed in 2007, and the bishop was killed in 2008. And they were adamant to sort of stay where they are and to pray in their churches and to defend their communities, and they were killed. Now we have a new bishop being consecrated for Mosul, and I heard that he would not be able to live in Mosul, but maybe in one of the nearby villages. So they are trying their best. They are talking to some benevolent Muslim leaders, but what else can they do?
You, along with another group of Iraqi exiles, have founded a charity to help Christians who have been forced to leave their home and who are either internally displaced in other areas of Iraq or who have fled to neighboring countries in the wake of the chaos and violence of the last few years. What is their plight like?
The plight of the refugees is really bad. I visited Syria 2 years ago and met them. Other members of the charity visited in Jordan. And the situation there is that they are not recognized as refugees by the governments. They, you know, by, let us say, Syria, Jordan, or any other government in the Middle East where there are refugees. They consider them guests. In some places, they have to pay fines if their visas expire. So they really are in very difficult situations. They are depending mainly on their relatives who live abroad. Those who have relatives abroad are all right, but those who don't have relatives abroad are in abject poverty and depend on the charity of the churches, on the churches and charities like ours.
I was speaking to Suha Rassam, an Iraqi Catholic doctor and author, and a co-founder of the charity Iraqi Christians in Need.